In the morning of the 10th day of Rajab, Ibn Barik and his comrades returned to the King of England, while the Sultan went off with his bodyguard and his closest friends to the hill that abuts on Shefa Amr. Envoys did not cease to pass from one side to the other in the hope of laying the foundation of a firm peace. These negotiations continued till our men had procured the money and the tale of the prisoners that they were to deliver to the French at the end of the first period, in accordance with the treaty. The first instalment was to consist of the Holy Cross, 100,000 dinars, and 1,600 prisoners. Trustworthy men, sent by the Franks to conduct the examination, found it all complete, saving only the prisoners who had been demanded by name, all of whom had not yet been gathered together, and thus the negotiations continued to drag on till the end of the first term. On this day, the 18th of Rajab, the enemy sent, demanding what was due. The Sultan replied as follows: "Choose one of two things. Either send us back our comrades and receive the payment fixed for this term, in which case we will give hostages to ensure the full execution of all that is left, or accept what we are going to send you today, and in your turn give us hostages to keep until those of our comrades whom you hold prisoners are restored." To this the envoys made answer: "Not so. Send us what is due for this term, and in return we will give our solemn oath that your people shall be restored you." This proposition the Sultan rejected, knowing full well that if he were to deliver the money, the cross, and the prisoners while our men were still kept captive by the Franks, he would have no security against treachery on the part of the enemy, and this would be a great disaster to Islam. Then the King of England, seeing all the delays interposed by the Sultan to the execution of the treaty, acted perfidiously as regards his Musulman prisoners. On their yielding the town, he'd engaged to grant them life, adding that if the Sultan carried out the bargain, he would give them freedom and suffer them to carry off their children and wives. If the Sultan did not fulfill his engagements, they were to be made slaves. Now the king broke his promises to them and made open display of what he had till now kept hidden in his heart, by carrying out what he had intended to do after he had received the money and the Frank prisoners. It is thus that people of his nation ultimately admitted. In the afternoon of Tuesday, 27 Rajab, at 4 o'clock, he came out on horseback towards the Frankish army, knights, footmen, turned and advanced to the pits at the foot to which place he had already planted his tents. The Franks, on reaching the middle of the plain that stretches between this hill and that of Kaysan, close to which place the Sultan's advanced guard had drawn back, ordered all the Musulman prisoners whose martyrdom God had decreed for this day to be brought before him. They numbered more than 3,000 and were all bound with ropes. The Franks then flung themselves upon them all at once and massacred them with sword and lance in cold blood. Our advanced guard had already told the Sultan of the enemy's movements, and he sent it some reinforcements, but only after the massacre. The Musulmans, seeing what was being done to the prisoners, rushed against the Franks, and in the combat, which lasted till nightfall, several were slain and wounded on each side. On the morrow morning, our people gathered at the spot and found the Musulmans stretched out upon the ground as martyrs for the faith. They even recognized some of the dead. and the sight was a great affliction to them. The enemy had only spared the prisoners of note, and such as were strong enough to work. The motives of this massacre are differently told. According to some, the captives were slain by way of reprisal for the death of those Christians whom the Muslims had slain. Others again say that the King of England thought it unwise to leave so many in the town after his departure. God alone knows what the real reason was.